Today on the School of Podcasting, we're going to talk about, I know firsthand now, about the loyalty of an audience. I'm going to answer your podcasting questions, and we've got some phenomenal voicemail from France.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, this is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to producing to monetizing, because everything you need to launch a successful podcast you can find right out at theschoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to contact me, I would love to hear from you a couple different ways. First one, email is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. That number is 888-563-3228. You can also just click on the send voicemail button out at our website, which of course is schoolofpodcasting.com. And that's where you can leave a comment out at the website. So want to just jump right into this today. We're going to start off by playing and answering some questions from you. And this one is from Larry Decay of the Business of Writing Today.com. Take it away, Larry.
Hey, Dave Jackson. It's Larry Decay with the Business of Writing Today podcast. I've got a question for you about ranking in the iTunes store. And the way I'm using the word ranking is how your podcast appears when you search on podcasts. For instance, when you type in writing as a search term in the iTunes store and podcasts pop up and you click on see all, the Business of Writing Today podcast is hovering down in the 30s. And when I say the 30s, I'm talking about there's 30 podcasts that are listed above the Business of Writing Today. If you search on Business Writing, now we're in the top 10. And but if you click on some of those podcasts and look at them that are positioned higher than the Business of Writing Today, what you'll find is podcasts that podfaded 7 years ago, literally, podcasts from 2005 that the iTunes store is populating in a search higher than one that is going strong. And the Business of Writing Today podcast is going unbelievably strong. Even we're surprised. There's also plenty of podcasts that don't have podcast cover art that rank higher than our podcast, and we've got some good looking cover art. So I'm just wondering, and I'm sure you've reviewed this before over the years, I'm wondering if you could speak to the criteria that iTunes uses to rank or to populate in searches the different podcasts. And that is my question. Appreciate the answer. Keep up the good work. You're the best, man. Take care, buddy. Thanks.
Larry, thanks for your question. Couple things here. First of all, you ready for my official answer on what the criteria that iTunes uses to rank people? Here it is. I don't know. In fact, nobody knows. There are plenty of hypotheses out there, if we're going to use a big, quarter word there, but nobody really knows. And I know there are some myths out there, like if you want to be a new and notable, you have to have at least three episodes. Somebody just proved that wrong this week. So I know that's not true anymore. There are lots that I've heard. I do know this. I've yet to see this proven wrong. And that is, if you don't have album art, you will not be in new and notable. I have yet to see somebody prove that one wrong. One of the things that people think is true, we all assume it's true because everybody's saying it, is that the more reviews you get, the more, higher you rank. So we have seen some data to that somewhat proves that, but nothing that really proves it, unequivocally. I'm just into the big words here all of a sudden. But the bottom line is there is no, hey, if you do this, that, and this, you will get the top ranking. Now, a couple things you mentioned here, it changed when you entered different search words. Well, much like a search engine, if you go to Google and type in podcast coach, I'll rank in near the top, if not the top. If you type in podcast consultant, I think I'm at the bottom of page one, if not on page two. Why? Because you're using different keywords that you're typing in there. Consequently, if you type in business writing, that's one of your keywords, you'll be shown higher than if you just type in, let's say, writing or author or things of that nature. Now, in terms of album art has nothing to do with how you rank, as far as I know. Again, nobody really knows, but I wouldn't think it would. I would only think it matters if you're going to be a new and notable. As for podcasts ranking higher than yours that aren't even podcasting anymore, welcome to the lovely world of time-shifted information. Just because somebody recorded it a year ago and they've quit, if that is evergreen content and it's really good and a lot of people are still downloading it, you may technically be more popular than, you may not be as popular, I guess I should say, as a podcast who hasn't podcasted in a year. And again, that's kind of going by whatever, you can sort by popularity. There's a link for that in iTunes. But here is, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, here's what I say when it comes to stats and iTunes, especially because in your case, I know Larry. I'm actually going to be talking to Larry in an hour and 4 minutes. And I wanted to answer this here as well. If you're new to podcasting, I love the book Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk, and he talks about this, and he says, don't look at your stats for a year, because we obsess over stats. We constantly pick them apart. We try to figure out what it is, what it means, what does that mean? Are they watching on an iPod? Are they listening on an iPod, or are they listening on an iPad? Or is it on the play? Who cares? It's a download. That's what we're worried about. And look at, if you must look at stats, look at the download numbers and move on, because digging any deeper is going to take time away that you could be devoting to making better content. If you want the stats to move in a positive direction, make good content. Make content that you are proud of, that will get people talking. And that's how you get, the numbers to go up. Because if you have people going, oh, wow, I just found this new podcast, you got to check it out. And they tell their friends and they tell their friends and they tell their two friends. So it's now, with that said, if you are a person that obsesses over stats, welcome aboard. Most new podcasters do that. Some old podcasters still do that. I do not. I was when I first started, and I look when I upload this week's episode, I take 2 seconds to look and see what the old one was. Did it go up or down? And in the end, here's how I view this. I do everything I can to make the best episode I can. Now, are there some that I go back and go, oh, I wish I would have done that, or I wish I would have done this? Sure. But at that time, that was the best episode that I could put out. So consequently, looking at the numbers isn't going to make me go, oh, I should have done this, or I bet it would have been higher if I would have done this. So I don't really get hung up on stats. I do this podcast because I love podcasting. I do this podcast because I love to help people with podcasts. And how many are listening, as long as it's more than two, I'm happy. So now, that's my opinion. Obviously, you don't have to take on my opinion, but you can. Stats are a little bit, to me, YouTube is like crack. If I go over to YouTube and just start typing in things, being a guitar player, I can find all sorts of bizarre guitar things. And the next thing I know, I lost 3 hours and I got really nothing done. And so YouTube is kind of a bad word for me because of the way I am. Stats can be that way for a new podcaster. You can end up just trying to decipher your stats and figuring out why isn't this going up or not. No, just focus. Think about who your audience is. Think about their pain. That helps, right? What pains are they having that you can maybe solve? Think about, are there people in that industry that maybe you could interview, experts in that industry? That's an easy way to build up your audience. But just focus on that audience. What do they need? What do they want to hear? And make content about that. That is a much better way to spend your time than digging over your stats. So thanks so much for the question. And again, you can find him at The Business of Writing Today. All right, next up. Now, this is not fair. If somebody sent me a voicemail from, I don't know, Jersey, I would be tickled pink. But the fact that this came from France, and I got voice message, I got an email that, you know, kind of basically said, hey, I was kind of nervous about this because my English isn't as great as I want it to be, but I love the fact that he sent it in anyway. So this is Hugh Patrice, and to me, it's just cool. So check it out. Here comes Hugh, a winner of a podcast or European podcast award.
Hello, Dave. My name is Patrice Hu. I live in France. That's why my English is not perfect. As I like to say, French are the worst in foreign languages, so sorry if I make some errors in this voicemail. I have a podcast called Rock Express, if you want me to spell it, that R-O-C-K-A-I-X-P-R-E-S-S. If you want to check our website, just @.com after. I host it with my wife since 2009. We have this name because we live in the southeast of France in a town called Aix-en-Provence, close to Marseille. In this podcast, we talk about music news and play some independent music and unsigned bands. So Dave, I have a story to tell you. And as we are both podcasters, it's better for me to tell it to you with my voice than with written words. I've discovered your podcast last year. I've subscribed to all of them, School of Podcasting, Power of Podcasting, and Marketing Musician. I found you when I was searching on the web some tips on how I can make my podcast better. I needed some advices on how to put the way I host my podcast on a higher level. You know, like how to avoid making the things like that and stuff like that. I also needed some tips on how I can use social media to make my audience growing. I've applied some tips you provided on the School of Podcasting podcast, and they have worked well for me. My audience is growing every month, and when I listen to my stuff, you know, for example, when I am working on the episode production, I can tell you that I have erased a lot of mistakes I did before. It's still not perfect. No one is perfect, but a lot of mistakes have been erased. So just for that, I can already say a big thank you for giving me the key to podcast better. But that's not the end of this message. This year, on July more precisely, I have submitted my show to a podcast contest called the European Podcast Award. We were on the French non-profit category, and even if this word is negative and make me think of football or of war, we were competing against 11 other podcasts. On March 15, they announced the winners, and as you can guess, we have won the prize. You can check the virtual ceremony on the European Podcast Awards blog or just search it on YouTube. Obviously, it was a great day for our podcast and maybe one of the most important of our lives. So, I decided to send you this message just to say to your listeners who have a podcast or will launch a podcast soon that your tips works well. They have worked for us, so it will work for you. And I want to say a huge thank you for helping me to reach my goals and won a European contest. That's just awesome. As I said before, I must continue to work hard for making nice podcasts for our audience, but I wanted you to know that a French listener of SOP has reached his own goals, helped by an enormous desire to succeed, a ton of passion, and your voice playing in his iPod. Thanks a lot, Dev. God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right, Hugh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for sending in that, and congratulations on your European podcast award. I went over, there's actually YouTube where they give kind of a ceremony of who won, and there it is, you know, for France up against, quite a list of different podcasts here. Number one, Rock, I guess it's AIX Press. number one. Congratulations, my friend. And that is something to be very proud of. People always say, you know, why did you get into podcasting? Was it for money? What if for that? It was basically for Hugh. This sounds weird. I mean, I was this close to crying the first time I heard that voicemail because he was just so happy. The fact that I helped somebody and their life today, Hugh is happy because maybe partly I had something to do with that, just pushes every button I have. That's why I'm a teacher and I like to help people. And when I help people and then they are seen for the talent that they have and that I helped bring out in them, that just does it for me. That's what pushes my button. So Hugh, thank you so much for sharing that. All right, next up, if you're not aware, I do many podcasts, one of which that I do about every 2 weeks is called The Podcast Review Show at podcastreviewshow.com. And I actually started it, then I didn't do any episodes, and now I've come back and I'm trying to do it about every 2 weeks. And one of the reasons why I had deep reservations about this podcast is, number one, it's just my opinion. There's no, you know, just because I go, I wouldn't do it that way, doesn't mean that what I'm saying is gospel, right? And the fact that podcasting is an art form. So when you criticize anybody's art form, who are you, right? And I knew it was just a matter of time before people got their feathers ruffled. Now, in this case, it's not the host. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, if you're going to put down anybody, it doesn't matter who you put down. But boy, the minute you talk about somebody's family or, more importantly, their mother, oh, that's it. It is on. And so I always try to be very objective when it comes to reviewing a podcast. In this one, I even said that the podcast in question here is the B-Movie podcast. And you can find it at bmoviecast.com. And I say lots of wonderful things about it. The fact that they're, when they get to the movie, it was amazing. Their information that they had about these old movies and their passion, the fact they've done 192 episodes and they have a thriving community. I just said, for me, it took them 33 minutes and 40 seconds of a 2 hour long podcast. And I basically said, I can't do 2 hours. That doesn't work for me. And also I said, hey, you know, I may not be the best guy to review this. I'm not into B movies. But I could acknowledge and appreciate the information that they put together about old movies. I simply said, I don't know that I would make people wait 33 minutes and 40 seconds before I actually started talking about the movie. Well, there are now 7 comments on the blog out there because I have awakened the beast of this podcast audience. And so I'm bringing this up here for you to see the different sides of a podcast and why people listen, and to give you an insight into the community that can build around your podcast. So if you listen to this podcast, obviously my style is get in, get to the point, don't waste your audience's time, and move out. So I'm going to read you some of these, and just so you get the idea and just so you see the loyalty. So here, this is from Joe Blevins. He says, I'm a regular listener of the B-Movie cast, so your review caught my attention. He says, there are some things I disagree with. I mean, I see the podcast in a different way than you do. For some, the point of podcasting is to convey either information or opinion, and preferably do so in as simple and efficient a manner as possible. For others, it's more about creating a unique and varied audio experience for the listener. This was the first time I'd listened to your podcast, and it seems you fall into the first category. Vince's show, Vince is the host, is much more the second category. Your show is very efficient and businesslike. There's virtually no preamble. Because with Vince, you basically waited almost 3 minutes to even hear Vince's voice, and I was like, no, get to the point a little quicker. He said, and he even says, Dave, you get to the point, discuss that topic at hand and wrap it all up, all in a pretty short order. The B movie cast isn't like that. It's very leisurely. It's esoteric, but I think the nostalgic subject matter all but demands that approach. It's not a convenience store where you run in and grab what you need and hit the road. It's more like a cluttered curio shop where you browse around a while in no hurry to make your purchase and then you rejoin the world. For regular listeners, a lot of the material that a newcomer might think is extraneous, such as audio clips or the pre-review roundtable discussion, it gives the show much of its laid-back charm. To cut that material in order to get to the review more quickly, which is what my suggestion was, would, he says, I think, do more damage than good. I listen to the podcast about a variety of topics, and I think it's telling that several of the shows I like best seem to take a very relaxed, chatty approach and often have lengthy preambles with little or no connection to the topic of the week. It's a way to humanize the host and give the audience more of an emotional connection to the show. I think it's a big part of what keeps people coming back week after week, the same as they do with TV shows. If a podcast is just an efficient delivery system for information, the listener might download particular episodes in which the weekly topic is of that special interest, but they're not likely to become loyal listeners over the long haul. A streamlined, more focused, less personal show might be more user-friendly to the newcomer, but might very well be less satisfying to the diehards. Are you looking to win the battle or win the war? To win the war, I think you have to have a nurture of a loyal fan base, to which I emailed back and said, you know, that's a great point. And then we got another one here. So here, his point there is, you know, take it easy. You don't have to get in and get out. By adding more things to it, you allow people to know your host. So here's another one. I must say, though, I think you missed the point of the podcast. This is from Richard Chamberlain. Those who listen to the show aren't just listeners. And here's my favorite phrase. We're a virtual family. So your audience, stated here by your audience, in this case, the B-Movie cast, is a self-proclaimed virtual family. I love to hear about what others are watching because it introduces me to new shows and movies I otherwise might not have heard of or have tried. If I just want a movie review, I'll go to IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes. I love the selection of music and intros and outros. They enhance the show no matter how long or short they are. He says, I listen to several other podcasts and they all have a similar feel. Getting together with a friend to talk about movies. He says, tighten the show up by eliminating all of this and the show loses its unique color and its flavor. It becomes another run-of-the-mill show that can be easily missed. If you want that type of show, there are plenty to choose from on conventional radio. He says, I prefer my B-movie cast just the way it is, imperfections, warts and alls. Just so happens most of the movies we all love have the same imperfections, and that's what brought us to the B-movie cast in the first place. So he makes a great point. People that watch these old movies and love them because they are kind of imperfect. And I'm not saying you have to have a perfect podcast. Here's another great point. He says, I think you missed the point of the show. It isn't designed to get in, rattle off a movie review and get out. It's designed to spur conversation and introduce the listeners to new shows or movies or even music. Truth be told, most of the listeners aren't 20-somethings that just want the info and move on. We come from the area before cable TV and VCRs, when the pacing of the movie was slower and less frenetic than the movies of today. I can enjoy a movie from 2012 just as much as one from 1952, but I'll always gravitate towards an older film. He says, I think Vince could make some changes if he wanted to, but as I said, some of the unique qualities of the show may suffer or disappear altogether if he did. And consider he has more feedback in a given week than he can fit into the show, tells you his audience is still growing. I mean, I could go on and on. It's amazing how his audience has come not to attack me, but to basically say, you don't get it. I understand, Dave, as much as we respect the fact that you had time to listen to an episode of this and said, this isn't for me. And if it was me, I would cut out all the stuff that's not talking about the B movie. They're saying, no, you don't understand. That is what makes the podcast. Let me read you one more comment that I got here. He says, this is from Steve Sullivan, says the first episode I tuned in which is for The Creature from the Black Lagoon. He says, I think I had some of the same reactions you did. It seemed awfully loose, but somewhere around the second or third show I listened to, something clicked in my mind, he says, and I got it. The B-movie cast is like sitting around the living room. Now realize these people in some cases saw other people's comments and in some cases they didn't. So it's interesting that they're all describing it kind of the same way. He says it's like sitting around the living room talking with your friends about movies you really like. The B-movie cast has none of the snark or condescension that many others seem to feel toward this subject matter. I'm going to stop him there. That's a great thing. It's an old cliche statement, but you want to go where everybody knows your name and where people kind of think like you. And if these people are probably sitting in their living room going, nobody likes old movies like I do, and they have found a safe place to go. Let me go back to his comment. He says, those of us in the B-movie cast, and here's that word again, family, and he says, and that's what it is, a constantly growing family, love this stuff. Which goes back to my point that you may think your niche is very small and that people may or may not like this, but the people that do, they don't just like this stuff. They love this stuff. He says, so Steve continues on, sure, we know that these often aren't A, as in, you know, quality A pictures in terms of script, acting, sound effects, or anything else, but they all speak to our imaginations and touch parts of us that many slicker, larger budget films do not. And what's better than sharing your love of weird or obscure movies with other folks who feel the same way you do? This is why podcasting works. It helps you find the community. One thing might be better, and that's finding out about a new movie you might love that you've never heard of before. And the B-movie cast does that too, even for a guy like me who's been watching this stuff for over 50 years. So that to me goes phenomenal content. Why is this guy's podcast growing? Because some guy that's been immersed in this topic for 50 years is learning something from the podcast. That's why this guy's audience is growing. Phenomenal content. Vince's show has told me about things I missed or never even knew about before. And when you've seen as many films as I have, that's something special. And that's it. That's what Steve just described here is what I call driveway content. And what that means, if you're like, what the heck is driveway content? Driveway content is when you've been at work all day and you're tired and you just want to get home and you're listening to a podcast in your car and you're finally home and you pull in the driveway and you don't get out because you want to finish listening to that episode. That's what Steve's talking about here. He's like, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't know about this and I've been doing this stuff for 50 years. So that to me screams that Vince has phenomenal content. He says, so let me go back on to Steve's comment here. So sure, some time codes might make it easier for the less patient to find the review, and certainly Vince could consider doing that. So that was the one thing that kind of came out of the community is Vince could kind of put together they're calling them time codes. This would basically be a table of contents that, hey, if you want to hear about the news, go to the 7-minute mark. If you want to hear about the contest, go to the 13-minute mark. If you want to go to the review of the movie, go to the, 20-minute mark, something like that. But even Steve says here, but I prefer to wade through the comments about TV shows and to hear what Richard from Wichita or Adrian from England or Brother D, obviously these are people in the community, is up to. And what they're watching now and what they think of this week's movie. He ends his comment here by saying, I'm proud to be part of this family of, and then he has in quotation marks, misfits. And I eagerly look forward to each and every new show, whether I get to guest host, comment, or just listen. And that's from Steve Sullivan. And I mean, I could go on. Let me go through. I had some in the email because then I went over to their community. Now that's the stuff they put on my site. Their forum was just on fire. It was just amazing. Here's another guy. I'd much rather listen to a show that feels natural and feels like it's driven by a real love of the subject than a slickly produced show. The minute I hear a radio voice, I'm out. Even those guys who work a bit too hard at enunciation put me off. Podcasts are about real people, which is what makes them a million times better than slick commercial stuff. That was from Len from Pasadena. Here's another one. The show feels like a group of friends sitting around and talking, and it's not a show. I usually listen to the show, and I'm not in a hurry to get to the meat of the cast. I just pick up where I left off, and usually one show can get me through 3 days of driving to and from work. Here's the thing. I always say this to people. You get to decide what's in your podcast. You get to decide what's not in your podcast. And Vince is talking about what he loves, which is old movies. Vince is using himself as a gauge. And so the fact that this community kind of came to not the aid, not that Vince needed aid or saving, but just stood up and say, hold on a second. Let me tell you why I listen to this, because you've just explained to me how they could improve it. And so to me, I love the fact, and I love the fact that they're all saying, hey, we're part of a family. It's like walking into somebody's living room. It's warm. It's cozy. And we don't mind I don't know if anybody said they fast forward, but we don't mind taking 3 days to get through a podcast. That, for me, wouldn't work, obviously, which is why I told them to speed it up. But I just want to say that here is a podcast that, in my opinion, kind of breaks the mold. I don't know too many podcasts that are over an hour long, let alone two. But it also shows that there is an audience out there that may be looking for a podcast just like yours. They will love it. They will embrace it. They will use your website as the hub. Go over to bmoviecast.com and click on community. You'll see where there are a lot of messages going through there. In fact, let me do that right now since we're talking about it. Activity in the last 7 days, 32 messages. And they're all about bmoviecast was recently reviewed on the podcast review podcast. And they're talking about this. When I was wondering about this, are you going to find this interesting? And I said, well, to me, I think it's interesting to hear from a community about why they listen to a podcast. That's what I hope you got out of this. Why do they listen to this podcast? Because he's talking about a subject they love. You heard them talk about how they appreciate that Vince is real, that he's talking from a legitimately honest love of that subject. Vince has voicemail. Vince has email. He has in this case, a Yahoo group set up for the community to interact with each other. And I'm sure Vince gets ideas. In fact, I know he does. The episode I listened to talked about how they pick what movie to review next based on what people are saying in their community. And then the community gets together and they talk about that movie and then say, oh, you know what we should watch? We should watch Leprechaun or some other old horror movie. You can develop your own virtual family with a podcast. And then heaven help the dude that offers a suggestion on how he feels you should improve the podcast, because they will come at you. And they haven't been nasty at all. Nobody's dropping F-bombs, but they've just politely said, Dave, you don't get it. And you know what? I don't, because I'm not a B-movie fan. But it shows you the loyalty you can build. And that is going to do it for this episode. In the next podcast, we're going to get some feedback from that's the one thing I want to point out here, by the way. I could have made this easily an hour show today. And one of the things you have to learn is the discipline of not putting out all the information you have. We're going to get some feedback from Chris from the Bear Crawling Nation. He's actually podcasting using a tablet, and he's got some insights into that he is going to share. If you'd like to have your smiling voice on this podcast, a couple different ways to get it here. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. That's 888-563-3228. You can click on the voicemail button out at our website, which is schoolofpodcasting.com, and that's where you can leave comments as well. Because, of course, everything you need to launch a successful podcast you can find at the School of Podcasting. www.thedavejackson.com. And that is our website. So thank you very much for listening. We'll see you again real soon with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Have a great week, and I will see you on the inside. Till then, class is dismissed.